It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
All right, back here on The Drive, hour number 3. It's quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Bear, and young Marcus Young back with you for another hour or so. Starts with the Top 5 at 5, brought to you today by Malone and Costa Dentistry at Knoxville Smiles. Marcus?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, the basketball team here in Tennessee has received big news as Freddie Buckets has committed to Tennessee. The four-star for 2023 is excited about the potential that Rick Barnes and staff give him.
So you're not even going to attempt the name. Do we even know if that's his nickname?
I'm always going to say De Leone. Like, I know I'm going to. There's no way I can't. So unless we want to summon the Pope.
What if it's just Dylan? I'm serious.
I really hope sometimes. It is.
And
I'm
just What's gonna, his kid's name? What's his first name?
There's all over. What's his first name? Yeah. Really?
Freddy.
What are you reading back there? You have not been paying attention to the show at all today.
Yeah.
Are you literally reading a book on your phone or something? Do you have a Kindle back there?
No.
What are you reading?
De Leon. That's how you say it.
What does that have to do with his first name?
You're just reading Twitter.
No. I mean, I'm just looking up Freddie De Leon.
Anyway, Freddie De Leone, the four-star combo guard, takes the Vols over Alabama and Wake Forest. He's 6'4", 185-pound out of Raleigh, North Carolina. He's the number 69 overall player and 247 sports ranking. We'll be joining Cade Phillips.
Good start to the 2023 class for Rick Barnes and company.
Tremendous.
Definitely need to add to it, though. At number two, Tiger Woods will be leading a PGA Tour players meeting to discuss the threat of LIV Golf to the PGA. Despite the fact that he will not be part of the FedEx Cup playoffs, he will be present for a meeting with about 20 players, 20 of the top players in the world, to try to see if they can get on the same page, how to make the PGA Tour better. They're, according to a source, it could seem to even talk about the future of Monahan. Maybe looking at just it says here even boycotts for championships. So there's a lot of discussions trying to figure out what they need to do to fix things.
I don't know how
boycotts would help, but
when you're
going up against the Saudi.
Yeah, when you're going
fund.
Up against an opponent with bottomless pockets, that's always difficult. But, yeah, I mean, I think you draw a line in the sand and say, if you play for them, you can't play for us. And, I'd be interested to see what the major championships, what the Masters Committee or the folks at Augusta National and the Royal Ancient Golf Club folks and all that stuff think about it, man, because if – like, to me, that's the thing. They obviously don't care about not being able to play in the Ryder Cup. But if you tell these guys they can't play in the Masters, and I know you get into lawsuits and all that kind of thing and everything, but that's probably the only way to really prevent them. And even then, some people, it's just about the money. So they're kind of between a rock and a hard place.
At number three, Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy says that Oklahoma and Texas, quote, took a lot of history out of the Big 12. Oklahoma State coach Gundy said Tuesday that Oklahoma and Texas took the money and ran by leaving the Big 12 for the SEC.
I'm a man!
Let's just cut to the chase. They made a choice to financially secure their athletic departments for the next 12 to 15 years, he told ESPN, saying people can talk about all the reasons, but that's why they did it. All for the money. And took a lot of history out of this league and a lot of history out of college football with them.
We're Gundy wants to go.
What do you mean? Where he wants?
Assuming he's staying at Oklahoma State.
Why would he leave?
I mean, if they're about to be relegated to Group of Five status, I'm assuming he wants to play big boy football, compete for a championship.
Because he's a man.
I hope everything rotten happens to him after the way he played us numerous times over the years for money. He can go to hell. I don't like Gundy.
Still one of my favorite clips of him, just irate. Number four, Pittsburgh Pirates Rodolfo Castro was suspended for one game for the cell phone incident. So we talked about recently, Castro was playing a game and sliding to hit the base, and his phone fell out of his pocket. And a referee actually, an umpire.
Come on, Marcus.
An umpire pointed it out to him. Are they not really just referees?
One of the officials in the MLB said, "Son, you cannot have a telephone during the game."
The phone slipped out of his pocket.
He got suspended for that?
He's getting suspended for one game.
Nah.
But he is planning on appealing the suspension.
They aren't allowed in NASCAR either, apparently.
No texting and driving in NASCAR? Yeah, that seems like a good rule.
Keselowski tweeted, remember the year that, what was that guy's name? Juan Pablo Montoya hit the jet dryer?
Yeah.
And it blew up? Keselowski was tweeting pictures from the backstretch under the red flag of the fire.
I mean, as long as the car is parked and you're under red and you're not moving or anything, I guess that makes sense.
I don't know. I'm in the Daytona 500, red flag or not. I don't think.
What
I'm
do you really think? Some guy's going to be like, you know what? I'm stuck in 30th here. Last lap of the race. Doesn't look like I'm going to be able to pull this thing off. Let me check the Twitter, see what's going on. I can multitask here.
I'll just put up Stranger Things and put it on my dash.
I can totally
it.
See you trying to do the talk to text. Yeah.
You know, I might have said referee for MLB, but at least I didn't talk about a driver just texting in the back in 30th. And finally, at number five.
Is that a shot at him or me? He's the one who said it.
You're the one that's talking about.
Yeah, I brought it up. It's banned in NASCAR. It's
all right,
part of the
number
story.
Number five.
Boys, please.
Fair. Miller High Life is apparently introducing ice cream that's going to taste like a dive bar.
The hell does a dive bar taste like?
Well, I can tell you.
Regret and depression?
Yes. They have partnered with Tipsy Scoop, a maker of alcohol-infused ice cream, to create the ice cream dive bar. The product combines, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, beer, peanut swirl, tobacco smoke flavor, caramel, and a dark chocolate dip.
What?
Yeah.
Tobacco smoke flavor.
Yeah, the peanut swirl is designed to mimic the peanut shells frequently found on dive bar floors.
I mean, they might as well. It'll taste like an ashtray.
Did you not just hear the whole reason for the peanut swirl? It's for the peanut shells you find on the floor. That's what they're going for.
You're not going to have urine-soaked cinder block as part of that flavor palette either.
I so wish.
Shout out to the last lap.
Apparently, a six-pack is going to cost about $36. I'll bring some in, you know, for one of the Saturdays if we start losing to Florida.
Yeah, you know? Pound them. Please. Every damn one of them. I'll be at the house.
You don't want to try it?
No.
What part of it does it intrigue you?
It's beer.
All right, sorry.
Beer is on the list of awesome things Bear hates.
Is beer really awesome, though? I will never not pose what? That question.
It is.
Bunch of hipsters. Oh, this is a great IPA. Should try it. Really
is beer really awesome? I don't know, man. You want to put the poll in the field, Bear?
Let's do it.
You want to see what our audience thinks?
No.
I'm a Guinness guy myself.
Of course you are.
I like the darker beer.
Thank you, Marcus. That is the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by our friends at Malone and Costa Dentistry at Knoxville Smiles. Don't put off your dental visits any longer, folks. Go check them out. Knoxville Smiles, South Peters Road in West Knoxville. Getting it done over there as only they can. 865-539-1776 is your number for Knoxville Smiles. We appreciate their sponsorship of the show here this afternoon. Setting up hour number three. We'll go open lines here. You want to jump in, take a shot now. 865-546-8200. The Big Orange Phillies phone lines is open. Remember, no more what you talking about. John was crowned what you talk about champion in dramatic fashion here yesterday on these fan run airwaves. And so we are back to our regular scheduled programming the rest of the way here. If you want to chime in, would love to hear from you. Tennessee football team returning to the practice field earlier today. 16 days? That's what you're telling me? That seems real. I'm not a big countdown to kickoff guy, But 16, like, what do you talk about? We're 3 weeks away, 27 days, 48 days, whatever. 16, that seems soon.
Yeah, I mean, once you get down to especially under the 14-day, then it's just like you got an open date, and then it's game week. Once it gets down to there, I mean, it's upon us. It's going to go by so fast.
It is upon us. Whether you like it or not, we ran down the high school games coming up this weekend. High school football starts. NFL preseason.
Calling your shot now? The Rebels going to win it all this year?
I don't know if they're going to win it all, but I was told by somebody who witnessed them scrimmage that they got a squad this year. Boys up the street at 3300 Sutherland Avenue. Going to be a tough out for anybody this season.
The Rebels.
So, yeah, I don't know. This might be the last Rebel. They were trying to change the nickname last
really?
Year. Yeah, that was a thing.
I don't get that.
I get it, but at a certain point, it's like, what are we doing here? Lots of different kinds of Rebels. We already got rid of all the Confederate imagery. When I was in high school over there, they had the old logo of like the old Confederate dude with the big bushy beard
Colonel
and like the hat over his eyes, like so you couldn't see his eyes.
Yeah,
that was at midcourt.
Colonel Reb was.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it cool logo. Like I totally get why some people are against it, and okay, whatever. Like no more Confederate imagery over
right.
there. But I mean, there could be other kinds of rebels, right? We don't have to be the Confederate rebels. We could be the
like
Star
Princess,
Wars rebels.
Yeah, like Princess Leia yeah. and Luke.
Yeah, we're fighting a righteous rebellion.
Yeah.
Against the evil forces of Darth Vader and the Empire.
That would be kind of cool to have like that logo.
That's what I said at the time. I think they even did like a mascot thing. It's like, let's stay the rebels and let's our mascot could be like a Wookiee or something.
Yeah.
See if Disney will let you use the actual logo that they have for the
Skywalker.
Rebels.
They aren't going to let anybody use any of those logos.
We'll just be the Rebels. Rebel fighters.
The Rebel base on Alderaan.
You probably play some Star Wars music as they run out of the
town. Yeah, there you go. Change the fight song to da, 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 ba, da, ba. I guess that was actually Darth Vader's theme. But you get the idea. Could be forward thinking here.
Yeah.
Could be the cool school. Go ahead and change the colors. We go all white and black, stormtroopers.
Ooh.
Bearden plays, or West plays at Bearden on Sunday.
Sunday.
He has not been paying attention to the show at all this year.
He hasn't.
No. Yeah, we talked about it extensively earlier in hour one.
I remember talking about it. I do not recall hearing about them playing on Sunday.
Yeah, we talked about that extensively.
What time? Sunday.
I don't know. Hopefully later. I'd say probably still 7:30. You play it under the lights, right? You're not going to play it during the day in the heat.
Seems like that would be a bad idea.
Seems like a recipe for cramps.
See if I can figure out.
Kind of trailed off there, buddy. Figure out what?
Oh, when kickoff is on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Somebody, another West High
grad. You tell me what
channel
the Vols game is on today. Thanks, I'll hang up and listen. Bear just made a sports talk call on the drive.
Shut up.
This is getting very meta in here all of a sudden.
Meta.
Meta world peace.
Nice.
So, the Volunteers back out on the practice field this afternoon. If you missed it, hour number one. Had your full Rocky Top report. It's a banged up group coming out of the second scrimmage. No major injuries. I guess I'll take a plethora of little injuries over one or two major injuries.
Yeah.
Rather be doing what we're doing right now, where we've got about 10 guys that are kind of like
dinged up,
missing a lot of time. Yeah, can't scrimmage.
Yeah.
As opposed to Texas, where you've got two starters out for the year.
Yeah, we don't need that. Not as thin as our two deep still is in spots.
I'll steal a line from Crest and say it's football. You're going to get banged up a little bit. So as long as it's not major,
Still online from good. Chris.
What?
Chris.
It's all, yeah, guys all banged up. Haddon and Simmons were back out there. Jimmy Callaway, Squirrel White, not practicing. You had a walk-on running second-string slot receiver today. That's probably not ideal. Jalen Wright, Lynn J. Dixon, still not able to practice full speed at running back. A little thin there. Getting Lynn J. Dixon on the team just looking like more and more like a move of necessity with each passing day. I mean, you've got three bodies there right now. Wesley Walker wasn't out there today. He's been working at the star position. Solon Page, D. Williams. Walk-on Jackson Hanna, transfer from Nebraska, not out there today. Christian Harrison, not out there today. So, yeah, I mean, 2 weeks in, after 2 weeks of practice, and boys are a little bit banged up right now. But Heupel said a couple of weeks ago that a lot of these position battles would more or less be decided after the second scrimmage, which was Sunday. So, assuming that's true, and they've pretty much settled on starters and a two deep with maybe one or two hanging chads out there, is that still a thing? I mean, it's 22 years ago, the hanging chads. Is that a reference?
Do you get the reference,
Marcus?
How long ago was it?
22.
So it would have been six at the. No,
you don't get the hanging. Like, you don't know what that means?
No, I don't think I've ever heard that.
Anyway.
Never mind.
I have to come up with a new thing. There's still a couple of to be decided, to be determined on that depth chart, but they'll be moving more into like game week type practices now. To the contested presidential election of 2000. It was Bush v. Gore in Florida.
Yeah.
They had to do a bunch of recounts. This is before they had
punch card ballots.
Yeah, they had like these ballots, and they were like looking at them, and the things that when you punch out the hole, that was called a chad. But some of them were like, didn't punch all the way through, so they were hanging chads, and they had like lawyers with microscopes like looking at trying to determine who everybody voted for, and it's a huge cluster.
That's interesting.
Hanging chads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll start using it.
No. No. You don't need to start. I need to stop.
It's outdated.
I need to find a new, more contemporary analogy. 22 years ago doesn't seem like that long to me.
So obviously
Marcus,
I know.
Marcus was only six.
Heupel also mentioned.
Was still a coach. Casey Clawson was the quarterback. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do we want to get on the porch real quick?
Well, I mean, maybe. What do you got?
Well, I don't have too much memory of 6 years old right now, but you were just listing down everything that happened 22 years ago that felt just like yesterday.
I mean, back in the day, Marcus, simpler times, this is a pre-9/11 world, no cell phones. The internet was still in its infancy. You got the internet through the mail. No, seriously. They'd mail you the internet. It was a little disc, America Online. You pop it in your computer. You go on there and read. Well, I don't know, whatever people put on.
It took like 3 minutes for a picture to download.
Yeah.
JPEG. A tiny little blurred image.
Yeah, you're trying to look at pictures of Pam Anderson or something. It's just like line by line. You're like, come on. Elections were all about the hanging chads.
Took like 6 hours to download a song off Napster.
And by gar, our football team was great. Boy, Napster was great, man. Remember we had big desktop.
I don't think I ever had Napster. I had LimeWire and
yeah, I had them all, man. Kazaa, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it destroyed tons and tons, probably millions of computers.
A lot of viruses out there.
But at least you know you could rely on the Vols.
But you could rely on the Vols, Marcus, and it was always worth the chance of getting that virus if you could get a decent copy of Billy Squire's The Stroke on your computer to listen to at any time. That was a chance we were willing to take. It's pretty stupid now that I look back on it. Yeah, I want to download Frampton Comes Alive. Oh, I can't use my $2,000 computer anymore now. That's great. That's a real smart decision.
Yeah, because that was back when computers were significantly more expensive back then. It's true.
Simpler times. Simpler times. Stay with us. The drive continues. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, Tuesday afternoon edition of the show rolls on after this. Fan run rate. No, we haven't discussed that, by the way, Bear, and we're not going to.
Okay. I would just check.
That's more voluntary reaction. Hour four. It's 2 a.m.
Everybody's gone to bed.
A couple of beers in them and just like.
Davey's on a tear.
Let's get loose a little bit here.
Shout out to Davey Hudson's Lenore City. What are they, the Panthers? They'll be going to play Stone Memorial. Their first game.
I like Stone Memorial. It's a fun stadium to go to.
Stone Memorial?
Yeah.
Where's it at? I've never been there.
It's in Crossville.
In Crossville?
Yeah. Did a couple of CAK games there back in the day. At least one. It's right off the interstate. You're headed 40 west. Crossville,
That's actually not a bad drive.
There's a winery right there. Oh, yeah. It's not. It's like
an hour?
It's like 45 minutes away.
Yeah. You got that Bucky's there now, too.
Yeah. You been to Bucky's yet?
Nah.
You say that like you don't want to go. You're not going to go to Bucky's?
I mean,
you got to go to Bucky's.
Probably will at some point. My problem, the only time I go past there is when I'm, you know, like heading to Nashville for one of these doctor's appointments.
But there's going to be one of the 407 now, too, right?
I think so.
Exit 407 in Sevierville?
That's actually a lot closer than...
Crossville, yes.
At the end of the day, isn't it still basically just a giant gas station?
Yes and no. I mean, it's very clean. Like, I get gas station bathrooms have a bad name. The Bucky's bathrooms, immaculate.
Remember, we used to rate our remotes. We prided ourselves on only going to establishments that had pristine bathrooms.
Yeah. I mean, that's always a big one. The older you get, the more important it is.
100%.
So they're really clean restrooms. They've got everything, man. That's the kind of thing. It's like a Walmart, except it's nicer. If that makes any sense. You been to Bucky's?
I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I am interested in the jerky.
You will. You're interested in what?
So, I mean, they've got apparently a pretty wide selection of beef jerky.
You a big jerky guy?
I used to be. Yeah, Slim Jim's beef jerky. There's Jack Link things.
They really good brisket sandwiches. They got a guy there, I guess they smoke them out back or something. They're chopping them up, fresh cut brisket, smoked turkey sandwiches.
You like a good brisket sandwich?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm more of a sausage guy myself. Try that again. I'm more of a sausage guy myself.
I love sausage.
Yeah.
I'm a big sausage guy. I love sausage. I love sausage, for one. I'm a big sausage guy. Nothing like a big kielbasa. Just right. Great.
They got like fudge. They got a confectionery in there, and they're chopping up fudge. You got all your different, you know, regular, your peanut butter fudge. You can buy boxes of fudge to take home.
You a big fudge guy?
I used to be.
Really?
Yeah, kind of like you and your beef jerky ways. I sort of let it go, drifted away from it from over the years. But, I mean, if somebody says, hey, man, we got some fresh fudge here for you, I'd be like, yeah, cut me off a little sliver of fudge.
There's a place in, like, Gatlinburg that had really, really good fudge there, like that, all the different flavors. Well,
lots of places in Gatlinburg like that.
Well, yeah, but
that's pretty much all there is.
I just know the location from visual memory. I don't know the name of it. Couldn't tell you. I'm a visual kind of guy. You ask me a street name, I say I had no idea.
I like the peanut butter fudge pretty good. That's good stuff. Not the biggest brisket guy in the world.
So, Are you? You try the chop. It's pretty good prices too. Chopped brisket sandwich. There's like $5. You know, yeah. Try one out. It's pretty good. The barbecue sauce I thought was a little sweet, but it was nice and tender. It was juicy. It was good. Anyway, Marcus was asking you had a question during the break about the offensive tackle situation for the Vols on the offensive line.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I heard there were a couple conversations with Golish and Heupel talking about the competition at left tackle between the Florida transfer Mincy and I should have had this up.
Crawford. Juco.
So from their conversations, it seems like they're almost willing to go with a shared role at tackle.
Does that ever work?
No.
At any position?
No, and I don't understand. Like, maybe if you want to do it for the first week, like, that's fine.
Yeah, I guess my question is why? Why is that? Is it because the competition is so close they legitimately can't decide on who's better? Or is it a situation where, like, one of them might leave and they're trying to keep him around?
Pulling a Butch Jones special?
Here's the quote, actually, talking about the battle between them in training camp.
Which they would never say if it's one of those things where one of them might leave.
Hell no, they're not going to say that.
He said, those guys are continuing to compete. They're not going to stop after today. That'll happen all the way up until kickoff. And then continues with, anticipate both of them, Crawford and Mincy, playing during the course of the football game throughout the season and certainly in week one.
Maybe it's just an audition.
I mean, with the way our offense runs, you're going to have to be able to, you know, he's obviously not going to do it within a series, but, I mean, guys across the offensive line are going to need a blow.
I guess the emergency button is, you know, Darnell Wright, I think we talked about this yesterday. Darnell Wright started every game at left tackle last year, and he was good.
Yeah.
He was fine. So you could move him back there. I know he wants to play right tackle, but I would imagine if you go to him and say, look, Darnell, have you seen what's going on the other side, bro? Like, it's not going to be good if we don't move you. He'll probably move over there. I don't know. Maybe say, no, coach, you promised I'm staying over here. Maybe it's a big deal. Maybe it's not that big a deal. Maybe Mincy and Crawford are both pretty good, and one of them just hasn't distinguished themselves.
Separated.
Yeah, maybe you have a left tackle platoon. Maybe it'll be the first time in the history of football that that's ever worked, but we'll see. I'm with you, though. People talk about the secondary and the linebacker. Well, the defense in general. But to me, like offensive tackle, the protecting Hendon Hooker's blind side, the franchise, is the fact that here we are 2 weeks out from game day and that's still a question mark is a little bit concerning.
See, my main concern is out of all the positions on a football team, the O-line needs that mesh, that consistency more than any other position. You can have the running back by committee. You can rotate in receivers in and out, D-line, linebackers, all that. You don't have to have – the O-line are the guys that you want to have the best five out there the entire game. Consistently, the left tackle, the left guard working together, same with the right side. And if you're just constantly taking the two tackles and say, well – Mincy might be better for this game or Crawford's better for the other game, then whoever's at guard is just not having that same consistency throughout the entire season.
You can't play musical chairs with your left tackle. It's going to be a disaster if they do that.
They need to find the guy and just name him. Like, what are they worried about one of them transferring if they don't get their wish? Like, is that what's going on?
Well, that's what I was kind of throwing out there is, I mean, Mincy's already transferred once.
He's not going to transfer again.
Would not think so. And Crawford was a guy that we kind of just took a flyer on out of junior college. I mean, anybody who transfers in college football at this point in the season, it's going to be hard to get eligible and acclimated and on a team and learn a new system and all that stuff.
It just get any shot at any kind of playing time.
I mean, you're seeing it more and more. We saw the Brennan kid yesterday pretty much take his ball and go home when he didn't win the LSU quarterback job. And I feel like there's been a couple of stories like that the past couple of years of guys who it just didn't go well for them and they just quit on their team. But It's new generation. Not to get back up on the porch or anything. David on Twitter says, real ones know the Club Melt is the go-to Bucky's sandwich.
The Club Melt.
I do like me a good Club Melt.
That is a very underrated sandwich.
Have not had it yet.
You like a good club sandwich, period?
Oh, love the club. I'm in the club.
What about a Reuben?
That depends. Love me the Reuben at Gus's Good Times Deli. It was one of my go-tos back in the day. Nice steamed Reuben sandwich. Oh, yeah. That's the good stuff.
You're getting me hungry talking about sandwiches over here.
Well, it is that time. It is that time of the evening. 865-546-8200. Your number. Let's get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here next. Good afternoon, TJ.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Hey, doing well. Thank you.
Good, man. Good. Hey, you know, I expect Tennessee to be really good this year in basketball. I know I've heard this show today with a lot of negativity of Rick Barnes and the basketball team. Well, maybe not so much the basketball team, but Rick Barnes. But as an outsider from a fan of a different school, I want to ask you a question. And that question is, if Rick Barnes were to lose in the first or second round again this year, is that going to cause some turmoil between the fans and him be on a hot seat?
Say again, if he doesn't have a deep run in the tournament this year?
Yeah. How many years is the Tennessee faithful going to get, you know, deal with one or two, you know, weekend losses? Because I know it's been a couple of years, so when...
I don't know, man. It depends. I mean, are we continuing to have the upper hand with you guys and be competing for year in, year out, SEC championships and SEC tournament championships? He's not going anywhere if that's going on.
Yeah, I think if he's just doing what he's been doing, he's just winning a lot, and that's the only thing, is he just doesn't go far in the NCAA tournament, I think he'll be fine job security-wise. I think fans will grumble, but I think he's so well-liked by the administration and his players and the basketball community over there, former Vols and all that stuff. I just don't see – you know, despite some of the folks you hear on here, some of the more vocal element of our fan base that wants desperately to win, who I sympathize with, I want desperately to win. Those people are still a minority. Yes, they're loud, but like if I did a poll right now, Rick Barnes' approval rating, it would be well over 90%. Like Tennessee fans, by and large, love Rick Barnes.
Oh yeah, I believe that. I mean, I'm not even a Tennessee fan, and I like Rick Barnes. He does a great job with the talent he brings in, and he's a great I think, personally, he's a good X and O coach because, I mean, look what he's done against playing Kentucky with five stars the last couple of years. I just don't know what
it is. He dominates you guys.
Well, I don't know what it is about the postseason that, you know, Rick Barnes, because I think it was against Oregon State to where you guys that year were playing fast, 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 and then all of a sudden he wanted to put in a big guy and slow it down. I just don't understand it.
Well, we had the injury to Fulkerson, and so, Fulkerson got his face caved in by that dude in Florida in the SEC tournament, and so they started playing Urosh, and that did slow us down a little bit. But I think even – before that, like the season was because of the COVID restrictions, Springer and Keon never really melded with their older teammates the way you really have to have a team. You got to have, I mean, you know, this is being a big basketball guy, TJ, like all four teams that make, you don't make it to a Final Four and you certainly don't win a national championship without having just elite team chemistry, right? You got a star, maybe a couple of stars. Everybody knows their role, and nobody has bad games. Like, that's just the way it's got to be. And that particular team you're talking about was just, I'm not going to say dysfunctional, but it just never clicked for them. That was what's so frustrating about last year is it was clicking, man. Going into the NCAA tournament, we've won the SEC tournament. We got the elite point guard. We got good big man production. We've got Vescovi playing at an all-conference level. Triple J is the ultimate glue guy. And to not be able to get it done after all that was it's frustrating, man. It's, again, I sympathize with the win-at-all-costers, the folks that – but I think even those guys, Phil – Jamie, those the folks you hear ripping Barnes from time to time. I think if you like asked him, okay, really, you want to fire Rick Barnes? You want to fire and try and hire? I don't think they would. I think they realize that we got a good coach here.
Trust me, I know all about basketball crying with St. Peter's and going 38-0 and then losing in the Final Four. And trust me, I know. Hey, for the nerds out there like me. Y'all better go get you a PlayStation 5. That college football game's dropping. We haven't had a college football video game in about 15 years, so I might have to break off the dust on the controllers. Y'all have a good one, man.
It's not dropping until next summer.
TJ, I think it is dropping this year, right?
2023.
Next year?
Yeah, I was reading an article about it earlier today.
It would have already dropped already.
Okay, TJ, you can hold off on dusting off your Sega Genesis. Your Super Nintendo, you got another year to wait.
I'm excited for them to bring that game back just so Kentucky fans can win, 11 or 12 games on their own that way.
I'm thinking about, have you seen that deal where you plug it in and like your HDMI, it's like, I guess like one of those Fire Stick type things, and you play all the original Nintendo games?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. It's cheap too. Thinking about getting one, Russ? Come on, we can play some Zelda.
Never been a big RPG guy.
You want to go over and play video games with Bear?
I mean,
we've gotten together and played video games before. Hockey was a good one on that.
I've never been into like, it's Castlevania. We're going to go on a quest through the magic forest to save the princess. Like, I don't know. That's never really done.
You tell me you didn't play
me.
Castle Wolfenstein?
Nope. Never. Never got into it. Chris is next on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, well, I could sit there and play Contra and RBI baseball and super take my bow all day.
Contra was a good one.
So probably the best Nintendo game ever.
Classic.
But, yeah, earlier, you know, obviously, huge commitment getting Freddie, however you pronounce his last name.
De Leon.
One of the analysts said he's had such a productive summer that when they update the rankings, he could possibly end up in the top 30. Whether that happens or not, who knows? You know, the rankings go. Had he committed to Kentucky, I'm sure he would have been.
Barnes is pretty good at finding the diamond in the rough, you know, going all the way back to Grant Williams. But this is a recurring theme, too. Now, and I don't know if it's just because of Barnes' reputation, but it seems like Tennessee signed a couple of guys who, and this dude's already a top 100 player, so, you know, four-star prospect, so he's already pretty elite level recruit, but we've seen this a couple of times where guys commit to Tennessee and then their rankings go up. So either Barnes is and his staff are really good at identifying guys that are undervalued in the recruiting process, or Barnes has a reputation of being such a good talent evaluator and developer that these recruiting analysts say, oh, the guy's going to Tennessee, he must be better than we have him rated. Let's bump him up a little bit.
Yeah, in the first hour, I just started listening to podcasts, just got off work, but y'all talking about March. You know, Tennessee's had some bad luck with big men getting hurt. You know, Cal Alexander missed the tournament.
Ugh.
Fulkerson at that point. At
that time, Cal Alexander cost us. That really cost us a Final Four run.
Yeah, and then it's when Fulkerson got, you know, elbowed and, you know, broke, you know, he was out. And that's when he was playing his best basketball of his career. Where that Florida goon, you know, knocked him out on purpose. And then, you know, this year, Kamwa getting hurt, you know, midway through the season. It's like kind of snake bit with our best big man getting hurt, missing the tournament.
Now that you mention it, I think Chris is on to something. For maybe sure. Put those guys in bubble wrap once we get to March this year.
Yeah, and just bad luck with the Grant team. I mean, That's when, you know, Alexander, you know, the Adam Klein had the night of his life. And then the BS foul call on Lamonte Turner. I mean, you know, I mean, who knows? So,
Adam freaking Klein. It's an outrage.
He had like eight threes in that game. And people were in his face.
He's unconscious.
I actually broke a chair after that game was over. I was so mad.
And a lot of stuff got broken that night.
I remember I had to do voluntary reaction. I was in here with Nate and Davey.
That night?
You talk about, yeah, you talk about, like, I mean, because they're borderline Bourne's bashers anyway.
There's nothing borderline about Hodges.
And it was just, it was pretty brutal.
And Davey's a known dookie.
I think I was more mad after that game than any loss to Florida or Bama in football.
Well, even because we were played so poorly at the beginning of that game, and then there was a great comeback. I remember Admiral hit like a half-court shot at one point, and it was just like, okay, we got this. Yeah, this dude's going off, but the, you know, Admiral and Grant, not going to let us lose. No way. Ain't happening. His name was Ryan Klein. What was his name? Patsy Klein?
Ryan Klein.
Never did another thing, did he?
Nope.
Oh, he's lighting up a church league somewhere and
selling insurance.
Indiana right now.
Playing Dwight Schrute and Michael Scott there in the office basement. All right, but some say we lead for Estrella. Obviously, you know, who in the world would choose Iowa or Syracuse over Tennessee basketball? But who knows? Maybe we'll get him here in about 2 weeks. All right, see you.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the phone call. Quick timeout. Final break of the show. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. Back to wrap things up after this. Fan Run Radio wrapping up on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Overtime. Getting set to take you through the 8 p.m. hour right here on Fan Run. Wrapping up. Appreciate everybody called in, made it possible this afternoon. Guess tomorrow will be 15 days out. We'll have another Rocky Top report for you. Working on finding a couple more good guests to break down the season with. Getting to that point where it's interesting, you know, Marcus during one of the earlier breaks says the whole offensive tackle rotation thing, and like I feel like we've broken that down to levels beyond scientific, but I'm here every day and some people are not, so sometimes we have to go back and revisit some of these topics, but I feel, since I'm here every day, since I read practice reports every day on multiple websites and listen to all the press conferences and all that stuff, that I'm kind of getting to that place where it's like, all right, sort of have a grasp of all the pertinent issues, storylines, and whatnot on this team. Just sort of going over the same old ground here over and over and over again. Can we please get to the games?
You burn out. You already burn out on the preseason.
No, I would say burned out. No, I mean that's got a negative connotation to it, right? I'm just I'm ready to play.
Tired of talking.
Ready to get this thing rolling. Ready to have games. I'm ready to stop speculating, talking about what we think is going to happen, how we think the team is going to look, and talk about how they actually look and what is actually happening.
It will be a welcome relief. We haven't had any sport to, I guess, since the baseball Vols got knocked out of the postseason. It's different when you've got a team actively competing. It's stuff to break down and talk about other than just, like you said, just wild speculation.
It's that time of the year. You got to lean into it. Do the work, man. Not everybody gets to listen to the whole 3 hours. They might have missed us breaking down the left tackle rotation yesterday on the show. So guess what? We'll do it again. We might do it again tomorrow. We might just spend the next 16 days talking about nothing but J.J. Crawford and Gerald Mincy and who's going to be left tackle opening day for the Volunteers.
Surely. Not every day, surely.
Let's go to the phones. Wrapping up here, Tuesday show. Roger will be our final caller this evening. What's up, Raj?
Hold on. That's what I'm doing. Fine. How y'all doing? Doing tonight?
Doing well, thanks.
Well, good. Russell, speaking of that, I just want to ask you about the defense-wise, for appearance and everything. I just want to ask you, how much, you know, I don't know if you can tell me or not, I don't know if you know, you got there and see it, perfect, but for what you, for what this, the second year, Russell and Bear, the second year is hit them defense-wise, the tension have any fans? The tension have? I got some fans. How about the tension have? Any more depth at all? Any more depth in fans?
Yeah, I think they got more depth and experience all over, Raj. I mean, you can argue about the quality of that depth and experience, but yeah, I mean, I think they've got more options at pretty much every position across the board, so we'll see. Are they able to play more guys and keep guys you know, fresh and healthy throughout the season that way?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You said that you got some. You know how much we got for experience and also depth, both of them. How much we got? You know yet how much we got both yet?
Again, like Russ said, Raj, it's probably better than what we had going into last year. Still not where I'm sure Coach Heupel and staff want it or where we need it to be as successful as we possibly can be in the SEC. You got to have a lot of depth. It's a rough league to make it through a whole season without guys getting hurt and missing games.
Right. So, Russell, So you're saying Paul won't know more about that until the season starts, right? They're saying Russell on that. You think?
Well, I mean, we'll see. Ultimately, we're going to see what happens when the games actually kick off and start playing. But I think you got two more weeks of practice to, you know, if there are a couple of guys like Kamal Haddon is out there again for the first time. You know, people were talking about him, like penciling him in as a starter. And now it's like, does he just go right back to that? Or does he have to fight his way past Charles and Turnage and Burrell and those other guys that have been out there for the past week and a half that he's missed?
I think it's going to take – we'll see how he looks after a few practices and getting the rust off. You got to play the guys that can win the games, give you the best chance to win.
Yeah, you do, Bear. Have a good one. Hey, have a good one.
You have a wonderful evening, Raj. Love Roger.
Thanks, Raj. Good to hear from you, buddy.
A hell of a guy.
Final segment of the show today brought to you by our friends at Matlock Tire. Visit one of their five locations. I just added a location for them. How about that? Farragut, Lenoir City, Miraval, Athens, and Hardin Valley. Since 1953, Matlock has been getting it done. It's where I go for tires and auto service. You should as well. They provide exceptional customer care and service. It'll keep you and your family safe on the road. Visit MatlockTireService.com. You can schedule your appointment online there. And as you might have heard us talk about yesterday, go to Matlock. You get that oil change there. They've got the Wi-Fi. They've got comfortable waiting areas. They've got the rocking chairs outside, which I like to take advantage of if the weather's nice. And you just sit there and read a little something, maybe get some work done on the laptop or something like that for 45 minutes or so while they do the old oil change, tire rotation. And then it's pleasant, man. I always enjoy going over there. So go check them out, MatlockTireService.com, to find the location nearest you. Matlock Tire. All right. We'll be back here tomorrow. Overtime coming up next on many of these fine fan-run affiliates for Bear and Marcus Young. I'm Cody McClure. Have a great night, everyone. We'll do it again tomorrow here on Fan Run Radio.